Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. It's great to have you listening today, and we appreciate your joining us so that we can study the Bible together. We're going to be looking today at Luke chapter 9, so let me encourage you to open your Bible right now to Luke chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 in just a moment. But before we get to Luke chapter 9, and as you're turning there, let me say just a few words about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be looking at the apostles of Jesus Christ, and in particular, we're going to look at a special mission that Jesus sent these men on. Now, Jesus chose these 12 men to be his apostles. And the word apostle means a messenger. So he chose them to be his special messengers. And of course, they became the great leaders in the church after it was established. Now, he personally trained them for about 3.5 years. So they were close to Jesus. That gave them the opportunity to hear him teaching in a very personal way. Sometimes he taught them as a group when he didn't give that same level of instruction to other people. So they heard Jesus teaching the multitudes of people. They heard the same lessons that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they were also able to get private instruction from him. They were able to ask him questions about something that he had said, and then he would explain it to them. So they had all kinds of personal as well as public instruction from Jesus Christ, the master teacher. What an opportunity that was. But not only that, they also were with him. They lived with him. They traveled with him. They worked with him for that 3.5 year period. Now that gave them the time to observe Jesus Christ. They watched him. So they were able to learn not only from what he said, but also especially from what he did. Because Jesus never made a mistake. Jesus never sinned. And so through his sinless life and his perfect example, he was able to teach and to train these men as well. Now on top of this, and besides this kind of instruction and example that Jesus gave them, he also gave them special power, and I'm talking about miraculous power. He gave them the power to work miracles. And as we read Luke chapter 9 and look at these first few verses, we're going to find that Jesus was also getting them ready to be leaders in the church in other ways besides these powers and this kind of teaching that we've just mentioned. So let's begin reading here in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And here's where the Bible says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, did you notice in verses 1 and 2 and also in verse 6, the combination of the two things that we have talked about a lot in Jesus' life, in his teaching and in his ministry, and also in the early church? Did you notice these two things? We find in verses 1 and 2, and also in verse 6, the miracles that they did and the preaching that they did. Notice it again. The Bible says he gave them power over all devils, that is, to cast out demons, to cure diseases, and then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. There's the word part of it. And to heal the sick, that is, by these miracles. So miracles and preaching go hand in hand in Jesus' ministry and also in the work of the apostles. Now that is what we see throughout the entire New Testament. And that's very, very important to remember. For instance, we find in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that after Jesus ascended back up into heaven, that the disciples went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. Now, the kind of signs that he's talking about here are these miracles. He confirmed the word with signs following, that is, following and accompanying their preaching. So what we're seeing here in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, is that a special and primary and definite reason for these miracles in the first century was to prove that the word of God was true, to prove that the preaching of Jesus and that the preaching of the apostles was indeed the word of God. Now you see, anybody could come along and say, well, I'm a preacher of God. I have a message from God. What many people today need to be taught to do is this. Anytime they read or they hear someone making a claim like that, they need to ask for proof. They need to demand evidence. They need to say, where's the proof that you are from God? What reason do I have to believe that you are a messenger from God? And what you're going to find today, of course, is that these people who claim to have special messages other than the Bible now from God are not able to work these miracles. They're not able to give this evidence. They claim to be speaking from God, but they can't do it. Now, in Bible times, folks, especially in the New Testament, we find Mark 16, verse 20 telling us that these apostles went forth and they preached the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ sent down from heaven, and they proved that it was from heaven, that it was from God, by confirming the word with signs, that is, miracles that followed. Now, you find something very similar to this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where the writer is comparing the Old Testament with the New Testament. And basically what he says is that if the Old Testament was serious, and that if people were held accountable when they disobeyed the Old Testament, then how much more accountable are they going to be held when they disobey the New Testament? Now you find that in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verses 3 and 4. Notice that he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So the Bible talks about this gospel, this great salvation, that at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, how was it confirmed? Well, the next verse tells us, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So that's exactly what we find here in Luke chapter 9. And again, let me remind you that if these apostles had not had the power to work these miracles, what reason would these Jews have had to listen to them, other than the fact that Jesus Christ had appointed them? But if they didn't know that, and if Jesus was not there with them, and the apostles were out in these different cities and towns preaching without Jesus Christ in this commission, well, they would be without the kind of proof that they needed. And so Jesus empowered them to work these miracles. Now, the miracles that Luke mentions here, like casting out demons, curing diseases, healing the sick, these were miracles that involved conditions that people saw. They were able to recognize that these people were actually, literally, really demon-possessed or afflicted with some kind of disease. They didn't have somebody who claimed to work a miracle to tell them, well, you have to take my word for it. He was possessed of a demon, but I cast him out before I brought him out here. Or this person was sick, but I brought him with you. He's already cured, and you won't be able to see the actual miracle. No, that's not the way that things were done. They took people from among the group of people that knew them in their own community, and they healed them of these ailments and these afflictions. And as they did that, they preached the kingdom of God, because these miracles were somewhat like a wake-up call to these people and also God's stamp of approval and certification on the message that they were preaching. Now in verses 3 through 6, Jesus gives them instructions about what they were to do and what they were to take. The Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus told them, take nothing for your journey, don't take staves. Now, that refers to the staff or to the rod that Jews oftentimes would carry with them. Now, we realize, of course, that shepherds would have this staff to use to shepherd their sheep. But sometimes this staff or this rod was used for different purposes. Sometimes it could be used for a walking cane. It could be used as a weapon for protection. It could even be used as a measuring device. And you read about that throughout the Bible. So he says, don't worry about that. Don't take a staff with you. Don't take a scrip. Now, the word scrip means a sack or a bag that they would carry with them to put their belongings in. Perhaps their food, extra clothes, money, and other things that they might need. Jesus said, don't worry about that. You don't need to take extra provisions with you. Don't take bread. Don't take money. Neither have two coats apiece. You don't need extra clothes. You don't need to take an extra change of clothes with you. And the reason why they didn't have to take these supplies and provisions is given in verse 4. It's because they were going to be supported by the people of the town or city that they went into. So he says in verse 4, whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. So all this shows, folks, that the mission he's sending them on here is temporary. It's not permanent. They're going to have to rely on other people for their support, for a place to stay, for food to eat, and for provisions to get back. So they had to have faith. They had to trust in what Jesus was saying here. If they had not had faith, if they had not trusted in what Jesus said here, then they would not have gone to begin with. And by the way, this is going to set a pattern here because this is going to prepare these apostles for a time after Jesus has ascended to heaven when they would be supported by the brethren. And throughout the New Testament, the scriptures talk about that. But Jesus also warns them in verse 5 that not everybody is going to be receptive and not everybody is going to be supportive. He says in verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now, to shake off the dust of their feet, Jesus says, was a testimony against these people who had rejected them. Now, Jesus did not say, and notice this, Jesus did not tell his apostles that when somebody rejected them, they were to apologize, they were to call for some kind of group meeting where they could have a, quote, dialogue and just share their ideas. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you preach the gospel and do not compromise it, do not back down. And we might add here that Jesus did not tell his disciples what some people are saying today, that the gospel is just one way to get to heaven. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, there were some people then, like there are people today, who do not receive that message. They reject that. Jesus said, when you get into that kind of town or city, then when you leave, you shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And we might add also that this is going to prepare them for the rejection and the persecution that they're going to experience after the church is established. So all of this is a training exercise for the apostles of Jesus Christ. We call this the limited commission. It's recorded at length in Matthew chapter 10. It's limited because it was only for a temporary amount of time, and also because the apostles only went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in what we call the Great Commission, in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said to preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the commission, that's the age that we're living in today. Well, thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we'll look forward to studying more from Luke chapter 9 with you. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of the day.